If you have your Bibles and you want to go along with what I'm going to minister on today, it's found in a book that almost didn't make it into the Bible. In fact, if it had been up to Martin Luther, he would not have put this book in the Bible because he didn't think it belonged whatsoever. And it's a little book called James. I know a lot of you are looking at me like, I didn't know that it almost didn't make it. It took a long time for this book to finally be officially recognized and put into the, because it thought, many scholars thought that this book taught more on the law than it did spiritually. But if you really take a look at this, the Spirit gives you conviction, but there has to be a process that you go through in your life for correction. True? And in the very first chapter, here's how I dubbed the title. The life, we obtain life through our struggle. The life is in the struggle that we go through. I mean, when do you truly feel alive? Is it when you're floating through, just kind of everything's going good? You almost feel numb at that point, don't you? But when you have some trials and tribulations and some testing happen to you, all of a sudden, you're awake. It's kind of like this. Drive down the road, put late at night, or even middle of the afternoon, put the car in cruise control. Just a straight line. You're going down I-5 between Stockton to Bakersfield. It's a long, boring drive. And it's easy if you have that thing on cruise control and there's not a lot of traffic, just to kind of start to doze off a little bit, wouldn't you say? But then all of a sudden, let's just say out of nowhere, a bird hits you. Well, man, you're snapped into life real quick, aren't you? All that adrenaline comes to rushing forward, and you're like, what in the world just happened? And your spouse says, you just hit a bird. Now, that would be no uncommon thing for us, because my wife kills birds with her car all the time. I have come to realize that BMW does not stand for Bavarian Motor Works. It stands for Bird Murdering Woman. So, I'm going to pay for that one later on. But it is true. She has killed many a bird. She claims they commit suicide. Okay? I'm telling you right now, if they want final blessings, they just swoop down right in front of my wife all the time. It just never fails. But if you look in the first chapter of James, I'm going to read this through to you, and then I'm going to kind of go over some highlighted areas. It says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. That could also be known as testings. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all ways. And then dropping down to verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. I was asking the Lord, Lord, what do I preach on today? I mean, you know, you go through the week and the Lord hasn't spoken to you. And I finally said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to open the Bible. Wherever it is, if it impacts me, that's where I'm going to preach on. And something inside me said to go to the first chapter of James. And you see, like I said, if the Spirit of the Lord guides us, there still has to be something there, a process there that we go by, step by step. True? And in this, You have to understand some of the things he's saying. Number, first of all, let's understand, who is he talking to? He's talking to the Jews that have been scattered about. But are they the Jews or are they the Christian Jews? For him to, at that time, to be talking to all of the Jews, because they were scattered about in so many different areas of the world, I doubt if he was talking to all the Jews. Because if we read in the Old Testament, that, you know, remember when Assyria took Israel into captivity, and then Judea went to Nebuchadnezzar into captivity. When those countries told the Jews they could come back, not all Jews came back. And they settled in those countries. Some went off into Greece. Some went into Asia Minor. So they went all over the area. And they flourished wherever they were. So I believe that James is talking to those Jews which became believers of Jesus Christ. Because if this is a process book, he's actually not talking to the Jews that follow after the law. He's talking to those that follow after Jesus. The laws of Jesus. So he says, greeting, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. That's kind of a fun one to say, that I'm a slave of, and he's proud of being a slave. He is a totally dedicated servant of Jesus. But he says, count it all joy. Count it blessed. Be happy when you come upon temptations or tests and trials within your life. Now let's be honest here. How many of you get tickled to death when a trial or a tribulation comes into your life? It's exactly the opposite, isn't it? Because we look at it as something in life that, doggone it, I gotta go through this. I hate going through this. Why can't life just be a bed of roses? True? They even wrote a song about it. The days of wine and roses, remember? I guess I'm old. Well, our parents remember it, okay. But we don't consider temptations to be that type of thing. We don't consider it to be joyous. Because typically, if we're going to go through temptations, what kind of temptations are there? What kind of trials are there? Somebody passes away. You have a trial of sorrow. I don't know anybody here yet that I've ever seen when they have a loved one that passes away that has been jumping for joy. There's usually tears that follow in sorrow. Anybody here have testings of disappointment? You're expecting something and it doesn't come to fruition? You're disappointed. It makes you upset. You're really banking on it. Maybe it was a promotion at work. You thought you were the next one in line for that special job, and all of a sudden they bring in 30-year-old, and you're going, oh. And not only that, but maybe they got rid of your position altogether, and now you didn't have something. That's a disappointment. Causes a struggle. Causes a financial hardship. My son called me this week. Actually, I called him because I found out that he and his wife aren't doing too good right now. And he says, Dad, it's mainly financial. And I told him, I said, you know what, son? It's not the finances. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. There's an old joke that Bill Cosby used to say that he once went and saw his friend that was in the hospital that had overdosed a little bit on illegal drugs. And he looked at his friend and he says, why in the world did you do cocaine? He says, well, it enhances my personality. And he says, Bill Cosby looked at him and says, yeah, well, you were a jerk to begin with. There's a message there. There's a problem. If there's a problem in our lives, money, the lack of it, or the excess of it, typically will bring out an underlying problem that already exists. The money is not the problem. The relationship, there's something in the relationship that already had manifested, that had started to abscess. The money just made it start to come to fruition, to where you could see it. And see, that's what happens in our lives. We already have these faults that we have. And all of a sudden, along comes a trial. Along comes a temptation. a tribulation. And we think that all of a sudden, all hellfire and rain has just come down upon us. But in reality, it is there to show you where you need to have work done. I know these are some strong words, but I mean, it's true. How many times have you gone through something and you know what? You've gone through it. Then you go through it again. Then you go through it again. Then you go through it again. And all I can do is hear my Heavenly Father up there going, you're going to continue to go through this until you finally learn your lesson. Because didn't we do that to our kids? I remember when I taught my son how to mow the lawn. First time I went out there, it looked like I had a bunch of row of mohawks in my lawn. Guess what I'd make him do? He'd go out and mow it again. If that didn't cure the problem, there was the third time that he would go out and mow the lawn. He finally realized it was better for him to slow down and mow the lawn right the first time so that he didn't have to spend so many hours mowing the lawn. And it's the same way, the same thing that happens in our life, in the trials and the tribulations that we go through, we need to slow down. Identify that we're going through this trial not to punish us, but that we can, so that we can get better. Trials and tribulations are not there to make us fall. They're there to help us soar, to become the best that God has us to be. Let's go on in the scripture. I mean, are there some of the other temptations or trials that we go through? Seductions. Anybody here ever get seduced? And if you're married, don't you dare tell me no. You were seduced. You are either seduced or the seducer. One of the two. Maybe you were cohorting seducees. I don't know. But there was a lot of seduction that was going on. And you realize, let's get married. I'm tired of all this seduction. There are dangers. Why do you think Caltrans puts yellow international signs on the road that says 45 in a, you know, hard turn? Does that mean, hey, I'm dyslexic, you know, let's just go as fast as we can? That means, doesn't mean to speed up, it's slow down, be cautious. Well, there are danger signs that God puts up in our lives, big flashing ones, just like a railroad crossing. Don't do that. Stay out of here. Don't go there. Do you think that if you were a man or a woman of God, that the best place for you to go would be to a male strip club or a woman strip club? Is that the thing that's not going to cause trials and temptations and any type of bad thoughts? We're supposed to stay away from things like that. Stay away from things that could move us away from the Lord. There's the sacrifice that we sometimes have to go through. Sometimes we have to give up the things that maybe we feel like we want or that we should have. Those are trials and temptations. None of us like to give up anything. Get a little kid to share his toys. Mine. No, that's mine. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Annabelle. She knows. And Susanna, too. But we as adults do it, too. Wait till your child comes and say, Dad, can I borrow the car? That's mine. You can have your mother's. Whatever it happens to be. We have things that come up in our life that are unpopular, that make us look silly. Do you think that when Joshua went around the city seven times, you don't think at times like maybe, you know, Lord, I'm looking like a fool. This is the stupidest thing I think I've ever done. Walk around the city, blow my horn, walk around the city, blow my horn. But he didn't do that. He had faith that what God told him to do would come to fruition if he but did it. So the scripture goes on to say this. Not only are we count it joy when we fall upon diverse temptation, but if we do that, if we let the temptation have its work in us, the patience of getting through it will create a perfectness within us. says here to let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. After it's done, you understand and you say, praise the name of Lord Jesus Christ, for he has helped me to get through this. And now I've got the knowledge, I've got the strength, I've got the wisdom to get through this and help somebody else to get through this when they go through it. It has done what it needed to do. The person that wants to run a marathon, guess what they got to do? They've got to run. They've got to train. Do they go out instantly and just run a marathon if they've never ran before? First thing they have to do is get up out of the couch or out of the chair and get up onto their feet and get moving. True? We say to ourselves, well, I can't run a marathon. How do you know? Have you ever tried? I have no desire to run a marathon. That's a whole different ball game. No desire and can't are two different entities. But if whatever you are going through, recognize it, say, Lord, thank you for sending this trial my way. And you're looking at me like, oh, Brother Decker, you've actually lost that last little marble that you had. But bless him. Say, thank you. Lord, help me learn the lesson as quickly as possible. Let me see what I'm supposed to do. Let it work perfectly inside of me. Then he says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. See, James in another part says, you ask not, or you have not, because you ask amiss. True? That means you're not asking the right way. We sang the song, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. Wisdom, prosperity, happiness, love, patience, understanding. All those things can be added unto you if you do but what? First, seek the kingdom of God. Also, ask. Not only do we have a tendency to ask wrongly, but my question is this: are you even asking? Or are you just assuming and expecting? Well, I'm his kid, he'll give it to me. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. Not sit on your behind, assume that I'm going to give you these things, and I'll get it all. No. Men or women, have you ever been in a conversation with your husband or wife, and the one or the other gets upset because they just expect that they should know what's on your mind? You're shaking. Some of you are shaking your head. I've had that happen to me before. And I'm saying, honey, lest you tell me what is wrong, I don't know. See, because guys, we're pretty much oblivious. We go through it. We have no clue. Unless they hit us between the eyes with it, we'll just keep going on like there's no problem. And our wives, typically, you should know me well enough by now. Am I talking to myself? Or are you just too afraid to admit it? We have the assumption that just because we've been with our spouse for so long that they should know everything about us. They should know when we feel this way, when they should expect this. But that doesn't always happen. And sometimes that happens when we walk with the Lord. We've been with the Lord for so long. Well, he should just know and give it to me. No, ask. Seek it. Knock. Take the first step. Require. Because what God has to give you is his best. He wants to give you it all, but he's just waiting on you. He wants to get you through the trial, the temptation, if you but ask. He wants to give you all the wisdom and the knowledge to do it, His wisdom and His knowledge, not man's wisdom or man's knowledge, to get you through the problem, if you ask. Amen? Oh, you're still awake. This is great. Ask and it will be given. It says here that God gives to all men liberally. That doesn't mean you have to be a Democrat. Okay? That means He gives you as much as you want. He holds back nothing. Think about that. As much as you want. You want one cookie? You want two cookies? You want a basket full of cookies? Take as much as you want. God will give you all your heart's desires. He abradeth not. Then it says, why? If you do this, He will give it to you. He doesn't put a condition upon it. All you have to do is ask in faith. Ask in faith. And a faith that's not double-minded. A faith that is insurance, that has the assurance that what you ask, God will give. I was thinking about this last night. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I'm expecting the best, but I'm preparing for the worst? Anybody heard somebody say that? That's the most idiotic statement I think I could ever hear in my entire life. There is no faith in that statement. You are not going to give the best if you are preparing for the worst. Why? You're focusing on the worst. You have to focus on the best without any doubt that any worse will happen. You are asking God, God, I want the best. I want your wisdom. I want your knowledge. Knowing that He is going to give you that because you burnt that bridge. There is no going back. You want nothing else. When you focus on something, really focus on it, that's what God's going to give you. Let's go back to the husband and wife thing. When you first got together with your husband and wife, when you first started dating, they were all that you thought about. True? I mean night and day. They were all that you thought about. What can I do to get her to like me? What can I do to get her attention? Do you think if I said this, this will work? Or if you think, you went through every scenario in your head. And women, you thought, what can I make wear to make him notice me? If I did my hair this way, will that do it? If I said this, if I went to where he was over here, do you think he might notice me? We thought about that. We focused on it. We hoped for it. You didn't say, well, you know, if I don't get him, I'll prepare for him. Did you? Anybody here do that? Well, if I don't get her, she's got a younger sister, not near as good looking, but if I don't get her, maybe I'll get her little sister. We hoped for the best. We focused on one thing and one thing only, to get the best. And you're married to her or him right now. Amen? All you husbands and wives said amen. Good move. Good move. Says there in verse 6, let him ask in faith, not wavering. You can't waver. See, faith is not just faith. Faith is assurance in belief. Knowing that it'll happen. When you get into your car, do you get in and... Let me ask you this. Do you keep the spare battery with you? Just in case it doesn't start? Anybody? You don't carry a spare battery in your car? Why not? Aren't you preparing for the worst? AAA. Do you even have a second thought that when you turn that key, that car is not going to turn over? You just go, whoop, starts up. You are expecting that to happen. You have full faith that that will happen. You don't waver from that. See, because the person that wavers, nothing good is going to happen. It's like the person that says, well, I started giving my tithes and I didn't get anything back. Oh, they didn't give it with the right mindset. With you do tithes, you give not expecting anything, not asking anything back. And that's when the Lord will just give his countenance in abundance to you. Different situations. But these tests, these trials, know that God's going to get them through you. Have no doubt, for he has taken you to soar with the wings of eagles, not the turkeys. Turkeys don't soar near as high as eagles do. Let that man or woman that is double-minded know that they will not ever receive any of the blessings. They will continue to go through the same trials and the same temptations each and every time. And then it goes down into verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, he's tempted of God. God does not tempt you. God does not allow or say, I am going to put evil into your life. We bring it on ourselves. Do we not? Here's how you start to bring evil into your life. When you start to focus on the things that are not of God. When those things start to have a greater authority in your life. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? No. Come on. This couple people over here were awake. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his. Man, you guys are. Tell me, what do you. Right, say righteousness loud. Righteousness. There you go. Whew. Proclaim it boldly before the Lord. Boldly. Don't come before the Lord and say, Lord, you know. If you don't mind, I really could use your blessing. I mean, if you find time, no. God wants you to come before him. And I'm going to say it this way, even for women. He wants to come, have you come man up before him. How many of you have come before your father or your mother with a problem or a situation? Did you come and you just like this? Or when if it's really bothering you, say, doggone it, John, you're my brother right now. I got a problem. Why? You caused something to go on right here. Can you help me get out of it? Come boldly before him. Don't accuse him. He didn't cause the evil. He didn't cause the temptation. But he allows us to go through it. Because see, a lot of people, they want to blame God, don't they? Well, how can bad things happen to good people? My wife had a concert on last night on the TV of Al Michaels. And I love George Michaels. Not the announcer. And this song is beautiful. The notes, the lyrics are horrible. But the tune is wonderful. And all of a sudden I started listening to the song. And the song said, why if Jesus came to save the world, is John Lennon and Elvis dead? I went, what? He just went from like here on my list of people I love to listen to kaboom. But that's what the world thinks. Why do you allow bad things to happen? Well, who in the right mind thinks that everybody on this earth is going to live forever?
I'm sorry to interrupt the message right here, but I do feel like there needs to be just a small amount of clarity that takes place. I am in no way insinuating that we do not have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Obviously we do when we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, recognizing that he took upon our sins when he got up onto the cross that day, and then he resurrected 3 days later. My intention here is to convey to the church that while we live this life in our physical body, we too must endure all the things that Jesus had to endure. We had to suffer, and we too will one day have to die a physical death. But thanks be to God, in his graciousness and in his mercy, he did give us Jesus Christ so that we can live and reign with him eternally.
If Jesus didn't live forever, he lived to 33, what makes us think that we're going to live forever? If bad things happened to Jesus in his life, what makes us think that bad things won't happen in our lives? Bad things happen. Man thinks a lot of the bad things to happen. God doesn't cause that guy to go by the street and pull out his revolver and shoot a little kid. Man comes up with that evil idea all on his own. Scripture says in the Old Testament that the heart of man is exceedingly wicked. So we can't blame God. But there are trials that we're going to go through in our human side, and there are trials that we're going to go through on our spiritual side. And God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge for both. That's the beautiful part about it. Because see, when we get drawn away, we do so because we start lusting or being enticed after something that's wrong. I mean, if we start lusting after another woman or another man when we're married, is that right or wrong? If you continue to focus on it, guess what it's going to lead us to? Eternal death. True? That's what Scripture's talking about here. Not that you're going to have trials and temptations and you're not going to focus on it. Of course you're going to focus on it. But focus on the solution. Don't focus on the problem. When you have a problem, which do you focus on? Some people say, I'm never going to get through this. It's never going to quit raining. Or, it's never going to rain. Focus on the solution. Know that our Father gives you solutions. Amen? Whew! I like preaching. It's fun. It is good. The Word of God is not just good, it's great. There's not a problem that you have in your life that you can't go to that good book and it'll give you the answer for it. You can go into any library and find thousands upon thousands of books on any subject that you want to find. Or you can just pick up the one book that was inspired by God many years ago and find his answers there. Even if you were in the jungle and had no book available to you, better than any cell phone, one-way direct conversation with the Heavenly Father through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask of him. Seek him. He'll give you the answer. Waver not, because if you waver, it won't be done. Know when you ask, it will be done. Have steadfast faith.